letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A Netflix original series.
Previously on Star Trek Discovery.
What is happening to you?
I don't think I'm Ash Tyler, Starfleet Lieutenant. Not really, not anymore.
We modified Volk into a shell that appears human. We grafted his psyche into Tyler's.
I do not know where your Volk ends and our Tyler begins, but they are both in jeopardy.
Only my hands can tend to him.
Lasers shoot from cuffs around Laurel's fingers into Tyler's head.
Logic tells me she's not the woman that I betrayed.
She's a ghost.
A sword sticks through Lorca's chest. He falls into the energy orb.
I have no future now. Find a way home. I will buy you some time.
Get out of there now.
Burnham wraps her arms around Giorgio as the transporter starts.
What have you done to me?
If we blow the reactor core, the resulting explosions will be pure mycelial energy. We can ride it long enough for the energy to activate the drive, and then you can navigate us home.
Discovery flies along, twists and turns down a mycelial web.
We overshot by 9 months.
If the map is to be believed, it appears the Klingons have won the war.
Cut to black. Worker bees repaint the hull of the Discovery, changing the I to a U. USS Discovery. In the transporter room, Saru walks in.
Captain!
Emperor!
He cocks his head.
On your knees, slave! Nikopian is my captain.
Sir, I can explain.
Yesterday we dined on the entrails of his brethren. And today you seek his favor?
Transport our visitor to guest quarters on deck 3 and confine her there now. You told me there were no Kelpians in the other universe. You lied.
I hope to spare you the pain.
The presence of a Terran defector on this ship is to be regarded as classified. Its utterance will carry a penalty of treason. Do you understand?
Aye, Captain.
Captain, your presence is requested in sickbay.
With me.
Burnham follows him out.
I could offer excuses. I was trying to destabilize the Terran Empire. I thought Starfleet could benefit from learning about an alternate universe. The truth is that I just couldn't watch her die again, Saru. I wanted to offer her more. I am sorry.
Saving Giorgio may indeed prove to be a grave error in judgment, but no one else could have done what you did aboard that Terran flagship. You are alive, and we are home.
Any news from command?
Federation ships have appeared on long-range sensors, but none answer my hail.
Doesn't feel much like home.
Discovery suffered damage riding the mycelial shockwave back into our universe. We are running on auxiliary power until repairs are complete. Deck 4. Dr. Pollard has orders to alert me when Lieutenant Tyler regains consciousness.
She looks up at Saru, her eyes widen.
An emergency surgical procedure proved necessary. An attempt to excise the Klingon in Tyler's neurological identity.
How? What happened to him was completely outside of the realm of sanctioned medicine.
Starfleet did not perform the procedure. It was the Klingon, Laurel.
His torture?
And Handler. She oversaw Tyler's transformation. None of us are sure what state we might find him in. I am hoping that a familiar face could offer him encouragement to heal. How he reacts to you may offer us insight into who he has become.
Captain, he's awake. Is that an order, Captain?
I fail to understand.
Is that an order? To see him?
No.
I'm sorry. I can't.
She walks away. Saru and Pollard look after her.
What are your findings, Doctor?
Bioassessments. The patient now presents as Ash Tyler. Adrenal corticotropic hormonal levels are normal. Cellular mitochondria counts are back within human range. I find no remaining evidence of Klingon aggression or muscular stamina.
So, is he human? or Klingon?
Neither. Both. We can't be sure. Not without understanding the science behind the reassignment procedure.
And how do we do that?
I suppose we could start by asking him.
They look through the door at Tyler, sitting on a bio bed. Saru turns to Pollard and nods. He walks in.
Tyler?
Mr. Saru. Thanks for the save.
And Volk?
I can access his memories. But there's a disconnect. Like watching someone else's life or something.
Do you remember what was done to you?
The Mokai call it a Choh'a. Species reassignment protocol, specifically designed to infiltrate classified Starfleet intelligence.
Are there others?
Volk was the test case. We flayed his skin, cracked his bones open, sawed his heart into pieces. You think that'll be the worst of it? And they start shaving down the tips of your fingers.
Volk was the Kuvma's torchbearer.
He submitted to the torture willingly, at Lorel's behest. They were the only true believers left. Volk and Lorel believed taking this ship would bring followers back to the Kuvma's house. They were in love, you know.
Will you cooperate with us? Share everything you know?
Of course. I would do anything to undo what I've done. Is she alive?
Specialist Burnham has returned safely aboard Discovery.
Thank God. Can I
focus on your recovery? You both survived a harrowing ordeal.
Saru, I tried to kill her. I murdered them. Dr. Colburn. I belong in the brig.
Volk is responsible for your crimes. And I see no semblance of him before me.
A medical officer puts a cuff on Tyler's wrist.
Your privileges aboard Discovery will be limited. But I will not take your freedom.
Saru pats himself on the sides and walks out. Tyler watches. On the bridge.
The vessel is approaching, sir. Federation signature.
Hail them at once.
Hi, Captain.
Captain, its shields are up. Its phasers are charged and targeting.
Shields up. I'm picking up an incoming transporter signature. We're being boarded.
An Andorian and six others hold weapons.
Identify yourselves.
Hands where I can see them.
The bridge crew backs away, hands up.
I demand an explanation for this intrusion.
We ask the questions. Clear for transport.
Cornwell and Sarek beam in.
Admiral.
Where's Captain Lorca?
Sarek, please.
Stand down, Specialist. Now. Computer, initiate command level override. Authorization, Admiral Katrina Cornwell, Pi Beta 6.
Override confirmed.
Start with him.
Sarek walks to Saru.
Ambassador, what are you doing?
What the times require.
My mind to your mind. My thoughts to your thoughts.
Sarek splays his hand on Saru's face.
Mr. Saru is who he appears to be. The Discovery's been through an inconceivable ordeal.
Then where the hell is her commanding officer?
Captain Lorca is dead.
designs for the saucer section of a starship are sketched out, starring Sonequa Martin-Green. The body and warp drives are added. Doug Jones. It becomes three-dimensional. Shahzad Latif. Details are added. Anthony Rapp. Mary Wiseman. The drawing flies over a planet's surface. And Jason Isaacs. Special guest star Michelle Yeoh. The bottom of a face. An eye looks at a spinning sphere. Casting by Marjorie Simpkin, CSA. Orly Sidowitz, CSA. Sketches of a spacesuit. Music and theme by Jeff Rousseau. Costume designer Gersha Phillips. Visual effects supervisor Jason Zimmerman. Edited by Scott Gamzin, ACE. Production designer Tamara Deverell. Director of photography Colin Holt, CSC. Executive producer Brian Fuller. Executive producers Eugene Roddenberry, Trevor Roth. Executive producer Akiva Goldsman. Executive producer Heather Caden. Executive producers Gretchen J. Berg, Aaron Harberts. Executive producer Alex Kurtzman. Star Trek Discovery. Based upon Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Created by Brian Fuller and Alex Kurtzman. Written by Lisa Randolph. Directed by David Solomon.
Bastard.
Cornwell shoots a bowl of fortune cookies.
The Lorca I came up with was measured. He was reasoned. But I couldn't have imagined...
That Lorca was an imposter from an alternate universe was not the most obvious conclusion. We were all deceived.
Discovery was destroyed by Klingons 9 months ago. I saw the debris with my own eyes.
That wreckage belonged to the Terran Discovery. The two ships switched places when we jumped across universes.
From what you've told us about the Terran Empire, no Starfleet officer could survive that universe alone. So my Gabriel is dead.
She brings up a holographic display from the center of a round table.
Lorca sidelined the most vital asset in our fleet. Now, with your return, we have disseminated your hard-earned cloak-breaking algorithm to the front lines, which will neutralize the Klingons' ability to render their ships invisible. But our fear is it's too late. The war here has waged on for 9 brutal months without it.
She isolates part of the holographic display.
Stardate 4789.6, Klingon vessels launch hypothermic charges at Kel 4-6, burning off their atmosphere and killing 11,000 civilians instantly.
Another display.
Stardate 4851.5, a cloaked raider tails the USS Saratoga into space dock at Starbase 22, then ignites its antimatter supply in a suicide mission. Days later, similar assaults are carried out on bases 19 and 12, resulting in the loss of one-third of our fleet. Research outposts at the border colonies of Nevala, Sceptra, and Iridin have also been destroyed. The only children spared are now orphans.
Burnham blinks. Sarek looks at her.
There's no pattern to these attacks. There's no logical progression to their targets. There's not even consistency of method.
In the absence of a clear leader, the Klingon houses are divided once again. At the start of this war, we fought one enemy. Now, we fight 24. They quarrel among themselves, hence the indiscriminate nature of their aggression. But their collective aim seems clear: to compete for dominance by seeing which house can destroy the most Federation assets. We are fodder for their futile savagery. Our deaths, their spoils.
Nearly 20% of former Federation space has been occupied. Discovery will jump to Starbase 1 immediately. All evidence of your recent journey will be classified and destroyed. We cannot risk the knowledge of this alternate universe leaving the confines of Discovery.
I don't understand.
There would be too many possibilities.
Indeed. Our people have suffered terrible losses. What would you do if you thought that your dead wife, your lost child, your murdered parents all might be alive on the other side, and that a technology exists for you to see them again? This knowledge must be buried.
Command will want this locked down.
Of course.
Admiral.
Starbase One is our only remaining sanctuary. Can you jump us there?
Yeah, well, it's 100 AUs from Earth and over a light year from our current position. We used up the last of our supply of spores to get us home, and I can't jump without them.
The journey at warp will be perilous. Klingons swarm the Quadrant.
I'm afraid we have no choice. Saru, take this ship to warp as soon as possible.
Admiral, there's one more thing you need to know.
They enter Giorgio's quarters.
Emperor, Federation has questions. I need you to answer them.
What kind of guest would I be if I refuse such a simple request?
I'm told that in your universe, your word is law. Here we do things differently.
I can see that.
The resemblance is remarkable. What do you know of your counterpart, Captain Philippa Giorgio?
I know that she is dead, and I am not. But I will leave you to determine which of us has proved stronger.
Specialist Burnham has assured us that your arrival in this universe is without motive. But your presence here remains complicated.
The solution, however, is not. Send me home.
The Emperor narrowly escaped a violent revolution. She deserves political asylum.
I don't need your protection.
We have charted a course for Starbase One. You will be held there humanely until Command can determine a proper course of action.
So I am your prisoner.
Look, Your Highness, or whatever you're called, I'll tell it to you straight. I'm not even sure we know how to send you home, and even if we did, we have a war to fight. I'm sorry. Like I said, you're our guest. Make yourself at home. The resemblance is remarkable. See that she's comfortable.
Giorgio turns and sits. She glares at Burnham. In a corridor, Tyler walks toward a door. Stamets exits.
Stamets. I'm sorry. Words are not enough. And I know that, but I am.
You killed a good man. A man that I loved. Do you remember that?
I do now.
And does it gut you? Does it sicken you?
Eyes full of tears, Tyler nods.
Good. Maybe you're still human after all.
Stamets brushes past Tyler. Tyler watches him go. Lights flicker. In the mess hall, Tyler walks past tables. Crew members stop eating and watch him. Tilly stares. He gets his food and sits. Tilly eats another bite, grabs her tray, and stands. She walks over to Tyler. Detmer watches her put her tray down at his table.
You don't have to do this. I'm okay.
How could that possibly be true? Just eat and talk if you want to. I'm here.
Detmer grabs her tray and joins them.
Welcome back.
Awesome. more crew members join them. On the bridge.
Admiral, Starbase 1 within range.
Well done, all.
USS Discovery to Starbase 1, permission to initiate docking procedures.
She'll be a sight for sore eyes.
Admiral, I'm unable to establish contact.
Reset our channels. I'll override the comms restrictions manually.
Saru's threat ganglia emerge.
Detmer, drop us out of warp.
Aye, Admiral.
Bring Starbase 1 on screen.
Aye, Admiral.
Cornwell stands and steps forward.
No.
Saru's ganglia quiver. Burnham shakes her head. On screen, debris floats around the starbase.
Enhancing image.
On the main structure, a Klingon insignia appears.
That's a Klingon crest. House Degor.
They've seized a Federation starbase?
Scan for life signs. Now.
Complying. Sensing 274 Klingon life signs aboard.
Federation life.
Negative, Admiral. There's nothing.
There were 80,000 souls on that base. A large contingent of our leadership and at least three starships. The Klingons are practically in Earth's backyard.
Captain, we're being scanned.
The crew turns to Cornwell. She stares agape at the screen.
Detmer, maximum warp, get us out of here.
Yes, sir.
Burnham closes her eyes and looks away. In warp. Cornwell sits in the captain's chair. Burnham looks at her, as do Detmer and Reese. Saru approaches.
Admiral, Discovery awaits your orders.
Maintain current course and speed. We will make contact with command. What's left of them?
She exits. Saru and Burnham lock eyes. She looks away. In the brig, Laurel sits against the wall. Cornwell marches in. Laurel straightens and stands.
You live.
And you finally made it aboard the USS Discovery.
Though I suspect you found the accommodations lacking.
Even from a cage, Kalish hears my call.
I do not subscribe to your ideals. And yet I feel as though you and I understand each other.
T'Kuvma taught that all humans are without courage. About this, he was wrong.
I want to be truthful with you. Your side is winning. When we met, you had nothing but contempt for the crumbling leadership of the Klingon Empire.
T'Kuvma sought to strengthen and unify the great houses. If he has succeeded in only this, it is cause for celebration.
Your great houses are carving up Federation assets among their factions. A captured starbase bears the insignia of House Degor, not of the Klingon Empire. Is that the kind of unity your messiah proclaimed? They think nothing of the collateral damage caused by their brutal attacks. They target civilians, hospitals, food convoys. They slaughter innocents and inspire terror across the quadrant.
This is war, not a child's game with rules. We fight to preserve Klingon identity.
No one is looking to destroy your culture. Our laws are founded in equality. Freedom.
T'Kuvma taught us that the Federation cannot help itself. It seeks universal homogenization and assimilation.
T'Kuvma was an ignorant fool. And your people are moving closer and closer to my home planet. What are you looking for? More territory? Conditional surrender? I mean, your people won't even make demands. Why? How does this war end?
It doesn't. Klingons have tasted your blood. Conquer us, or we will never relent.
They stare at each other.
Thank you.
Cornwell strides out. Laurel looks down. In Giorgio's quarters, Burnham enters.
There's been a change of plans. Another Klingon attack. You'll have to stay on board Discovery a little while longer.
It makes no difference. One cell in this universe is as good as another.
You heard your Admiral.
We mean you no harm. The Admiral was
Tell me about the Vulcan. There is a connection between the two of you.
Why would you say that?
The way you look at him is not unlike the way you look at me.
He's essentially my father. He raised me.
So you were orphaned here as well.
Another echo of fate between our worlds. Your rule extends through every system in your galaxy. You've conquered places Starfleet hasn't even dared to explore. I see now that the time for peace has passed. I need you to tell me, how did you defeat the Klingon Empire? I started this war, and I need to finish it.
Why did you bring me here? Truly.
I wanted to show you a place of morality, of hope.
Let me tell you, daughter, who is not my daughter. In truth, you wished to save me because you couldn't save her. This regret that you have for what you did, it weakens you.
Well, I feel it every day of my life.
Burnham sits on the bed.
The Klingons are like cancer cells, constantly dividing. To root them out, you must destroy the tumor at its source. How much do you know about Kronos?
In Cornwell's quarters.
I suppose I don't have to tell you it's the middle of the night.
I have a proposal.
In the war room.
I left Discovery only to learn that a Klingon attack is imminent. They are gathering forces to launch a strike on this whole system.
The Klingons are taking the fight to us. We need to take it to them, to Kronos.
Attack the Klingon homeworld?
Not a simple attack. A simultaneous strike on their planetary defense batteries, immediately followed by the coordinated destruction of all military targets planet-wide. A single offensive so destructive it will force the enemy to retreat from Federation space and head for home.
Our remaining fleet is being called back to defend Earth. Discovery should join them.
Each path of logic leads to the same conclusion. Starfleet tactics have failed us. We must adapt if we're to have any hope of survival.
Kronos is uncharted territory.
We have no idea where their defense batteries are, much less their weapon production systems or shipyards.
The planet's dense upper atmosphere prevents long-range topographical and energy analysis. And no Starfleet officer has set foot there in this century.
Your strategy is a good one, Katrina, but it's not feasible without a map. And by the time Discovery got close enough to begin surveying, they'd blow her out of the sky.
She's not going to be in the sky.
On the bridge.
Let's go over it again.
Kronos is composed of a subterranean series of now dormant volcanoes. It is a planet of caves.
Some of them, according to Specialist Burnham's intel, are big enough to house a Crossfield class starship.
Rather than surveil our targets from orbit, we can map the terrain from the inside out,
thereby minimizing our risk of detection.
Jumping a massive starship inside a cave of impenetrable rock does seem challenging.
Travel aboard the mycelial network is in itself a sort of advanced detection system of geophysical imaging. I can easily identify the voids in energy that would represent a chasm versus a solid mass.
And once we're in position within the cave system, we'll release our surveillance drone to collect the necessary tactical information.
Good.
Burnham turns off the hologram of Kronos.
Because I've assured Starfleet we can do this. And by we, I mean you. It's a good plan, Specialist. Well done.
Thank you, Admiral.
One question. How do we get the spores necessary to make the jump?
We'll have to grow them ourselves.
My understanding is that your crop took years to cultivate.
Set a course for the Veda system. And get ready for a show.
they tilt their heads at him. In engineering, Stamets takes out a container of spores.
Prototaxites deleviatori, my original sample, and the last remaining mycelium of this strain. We are headed to an uninhabited class 4 moon in the Veda system. And if this works, I might even let you name it.
You're gonna terraform a moon? Your own research on the success of an organic mycelial harvest was indeterminable. I studied the
Straw quashed it. He wanted to keep the crop captive. If ever there was a time to go wild.
Your child is lost.
Do not confuse my ward with yours.
My daughter was a singular example of brilliance until one foolish choice doomed her world. Sound familiar?
If I understand correctly, my ward saw through the man who brought down not just your child, but your empire. Perhaps best not to make comparisons. Why have you requested my presence?
You were summoned, Vulcan, for one reason. I want to help you end this war.
The information you provided Michael has already proved valuable.
I told her as much as she could handle. Our daughters are not so unlike after all.
Giorgio sips a drink. Saru lifts his chin.
In my world, Kronos is little more than a blackened mass of dust. The Klingons fight for scraps and fear certain death. But it took a great deal more than a mapping drone in a cave to get there.
You assured Michael that your plan would prove effective.
And it will, momentarily. But they will regroup. Their longing to destroy the symbol that is Earth runs far too deep. What if I could show you how to bring them to their knees once and for all?
The Federation does not subscribe to what I imagine are Terran methods of combat.
You face annihilation. Is it not logical to do anything you can to save the lives of your kind? Give me what I want, and I can assure victory for the Federation.
What are your terms?
Freedom.
They lock eyes. In a corridor.
I must return to Vulcan. There are evolving details to the plan that must be considered.
What evolving details?
I sense you are uneasy. During my mind meld with Saru, I learned of your attachment to the Klingon spy and what he did to you. Such events are clearly troubling.
I'm fine, Sarek.
I remain unconvinced. There is irony here, of course. The man you fell in love with was a Klingon.
I don't know what he was.
There is also grace. For what greater source of peace exists than our ability to love our enemy?
I've made foolish choices. Emotional choices.
Well, you are human.
He puts his hand on her shoulder.
As is your mother. There is no telling what any one of us may do. The heart is concerned. We are at war. Logic dictates that each farewell may be our last.
He lifts his hand. Middle and ring fingers split. She returns the gesture.
Do not regret loving someone, Michael.
He walks to the transporters. In engineering.
Admiral Cornwell requested a status report.
This is the last of the mycelial transport vessels. We'll be able to launch by the time we reach Veda.
Said goodbye to my father, and it felt different. Final. It won't be. Right?
Did you ever think when you signed up for a Starfleet that he'd be forced to see. War and death.
Death found me when I was a child. So, yeah, I knew what I was getting into.
I don't think I did. Not really. Does that make me naive?
It makes you optimistic.
Tilly fidgets with the control pad in her hands. She looks away, then up.
When we were in the Terran universe, I was reminded how much a person is shaped by their environment. And I think the only way that we can stop ourselves from becoming them is to understand the darkness within us and fight it. Tyler needs you.
Told he's doing well.
It's not possible, not when you've lost the person you care about the most.
He killed a Starfleet officer. And he tried to kill me.
And those crimes are reprehensible. But Tyler is not the person who did that. At least he's not anymore. He is something other. Someone new. What we do now, the way that we treat him, that is who he will become. I know you still care about him.
I do. That does not mean I should.
Michael, he's been stripped of his badge. He'll never fly for Starfleet again. He'll be lucky if he doesn't end up in a lab or a cell. What kind of future can he have? Say what you have to say. Even if it's goodbye.
Burnham stares at Tilly. She turns away. On the bridge.
Lieutenant Stamets, your stop.
Locked and loaded, Admiral.
Detmer, put her into geostationary orbit.
Locking in, approximately 800 kilometers above the moon's surface.
Copy that. Initiating mycelial ejection protocol.
From the back of the Discovery, spore canisters eject into space.
Engaging agri-transport boosters?
Stamets hits a button. Blue flames on the canisters ignite. They hurtle toward the moon. On the bridge, crew members watch the view screen. The canisters enter the atmosphere. Blades extend out and spin. They pinwheel toward the surface. The blades become stands as the canisters land. Bottoms open and shoot capsules into the ground.
Status, Lieutenant Stamets.
Sensors from the terraforming field show root structures forming in zones 922 and 5041.
Blue spore lines spread underground.
Ready the EM darts.
Darts calibrated.
Fire.
The canisters fire into the ground. Blue waves spread across the surface. On the bridge, Saru watches a 3D diagram on the view screen. Tilly and Stamets stride in.
Come on, kiddos. Come on.
Spore stalks rise out of the ground. Barren land fills with plants. A few blue spores float above the stalks on the moon. Crew watches. A plant erupts with spores that float into the sky.
Spore generation at 4%, 8%.
Burnham rubs Stamets' shoulder.
15%.
Detmer smiles.
19%.
Saru watches.
22%. 27%.
I would congratulate you, Lieutenant.
23%.
but I'm afraid the work has just begun.
Burnham shakes her head slightly.
47%. 52%.
In an airlock, Tyler looks out the window. Burnham enters. He steps toward her. She steps back.
I don't know where to start.
I do. I'm sorry. I know there's no way I can prove this to you, but Volk, he's gone.
I believe you. Was there ever really an Ash Tyler? Did he love me? Because I loved him. You lied to me. You said that if it got to be too much, that if you couldn't handle it, you would come to me. And it did. And you didn't. And that wasn't Vogue, that was you. Tyler.
Who the hell is Tyler? You think I know anymore? You think I have any idea who I am now, where I belong? This isn't about a lie. This is about you looking for an excuse to end it.
Excuse?
My crewmates have been kinder than they need to be. Why are you, the person who knows me best, so quick to turn your back?
Stop.
I want you to admit it. Admit that you can't do this anymore because you finally went there with someone, then things got complicated. Because your parents were killed by Klingons and you fell in love with one.
Her jaw drops. Tears fill her eyes. She shakes her head.
Maybe you're right. I know, in my head, that you couldn't be responsible for Volk's actions. But I felt your hands around my neck. And I looked into your eyes, and I saw how much you wanted to kill me. The man that I love wanted me dead. And no matter how hard I try, when I look at you now, I see Volk's eyes. I see him.
He shakes his head, swallowing.
Your crew may have put it behind them, but I can't.
I shouldn't be here. I should be an activated Klingon spy behind bars. We're dead. Michael, the reason it didn't take, the reason Laurel couldn't get through to me, that was you. Did Ash Tyler love you? Hell yes, he did. And I can't find my way back without you.
She turns her head, a tear rolling down her cheek. She walks past him and looks out the window.
We created something beautiful today. In a desolate wasteland that had never seen life. After the Battle of the Binary Stars, I was so lost. I had to sit with myself. I had to work through it. I had to crawl my way back. I'm still not there, but I'm trying. That kind of work, reclaiming life, it's punishing. And it's relentless. And it's solitary.
His brow furrows. His eyes fill. She walks past him.
Ash.
He wipes his nose.
It's not easy. Letting you go.
He puts his hand to his mouth and turns to the window. In the ready room. Cornwell walks to a hologram of Sarek.
The mycelial bloom was successful. The spore harvest is underway.
Then the jump to Kronos would be possible.
Yes, imminently.
The Federation Council has been briefed on our newly acquired intelligence from the Terran. Despite the extraordinary risk, all are agreed that we have no choice but to proceed. Our very existence hangs in the balance.
Then it's time.
On the bridge.
Open a shipwide channel. We've all mourned the enormous loss of life due to this war. The acts of violence committed against us are the acts of a foe without reason, without honor. And they will not stop coming after us in the hopes of destroying everything that we hold dear. These are desperate times. And they call on us to do more than merely protect our people, defend our borders. I stand before you with a mission. At 2100 hours, the USS Discovery will jump for the Klingon homeworld in order to map its surface and isolate vulnerabilities and military targets. This brave team will be the first to visit this inhospitable planet since Captain Archer and the crew of the Enterprise NX-01 nearly 100 years ago. So allow me to introduce you to the person who will chart your course to Kronos.
Giorgio steps onto the bridge.
Captain Philippa Giorgio. Thank you.
Saru rises from the captain's chair.
The long presumed dead Captain Giorgio was recently rescued in a highly classified raid of a Klingon prison vessel. She was transported aboard Discovery with my personal retinue. The mission to Kronos is a perilous expedition. And Starfleet is confident that Captain Giorgio is uniquely qualified to get you there and to do what needs to be done.
Specialist Burnham, I trust that this will be an auspicious reunion, despite our history. Now take your station.
Burnham stands still. Giorgio walks up to Saru.
Yes, Captain.
Burnham returns to her station. Giorgio smiles. She sits in the captain's chair and smirks. Saru lifts his head and looks across the bridge to Burnham. Associate producer, Dana N. Wilson. Guest starring, Jane Brooke, Mary Chifo, James Frain. Sound designer, Tim Farrell. Secret Hideout, Roddenberry Entertainment, Living Dead Guy, CBS All Access Originals, CBS Television Studios. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.